Good morning to each one of you. It is a joy to be gathered together here this morning. Thank the Lord for what He has brought to our hearts already through our brothers. As Brother Dan talked about, when that last trump will sound, I was blessed by just pondering the sound of that trumpet. We don't know exactly what it'll sound like. But I believe it'll be very loud. I believe the volume will be very great. 1 Thessalonians 4 talks about, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Thank you for that, those thoughts there. Also, what Brother Allen shared with the children there about deceit. That is very important that we learn early in life that deceit is not productive. It's not, we're not intended to live in deceit. If you notice, as we interact with our children, children have, it seems like a challenge to be deceitful by their countenance. And where it gets a little more dangerous is those of us who are adults have more of a, you know, at times more of a mastery over our emotions, and we can hide things. And so I just want to encourage us this morning, as I think of the young people, a number of them traveling to Bern this week for Bible school. I just want to encourage you as you go to just have an open life, just to have an open heaven, an open heart as you spend this week. Just want to encourage you to get all that God has for you. God's going to pour out, we trust, many messages and blessings and challenges and rebukes and many of those things this week. And just embrace them. That's where true joy comes. That's where true peace comes. Just embrace those things that you're dealing with. We know that it's likely that you have needs in your life. And so as you hear those that teaching this week, just embrace it and say, "Yes, Lord." I believe that's God's will. So I want to thank the many of you who have signed up and are endeavoring to spend this week seeking God together. May the Lord have His way with you this week. We want to pray for you as you go. I want to talk this morning about the subtle symptoms of pride. It's one of the sins of the spirit. You know, we have the spirit or the sins of the flesh, which are these. You know, Galatians names many of them: anger, lust, greed. Yeah, there's a lot of them. But the sins of the spirit are on a different level. They're still sins, and they're very deadly sins nonetheless. The sin of pride is something that God says that He hates it, and that it's an abomination. And when God hates something, there's a reason behind it. You know, I wanted to give the definition of the reason I use subtle in front of pride is it's subtle. The definition is it's delicate or precise as to be difficult to analyze or describe, hard to notice or see. So the sin of pride can lurk in my heart, and it's not always obvious on the outside. But do we know this morning, are we convinced this morning how much God hates pride? If we think of the original sin, I believe this morning it could be said that it is the root of all sin. Pride is a very deadly sin. It causes scales to come over my eyes, and it's not always easy to see, because it is a posture of your heart. It is an attitude of your heart or mind. Of course, it expresses itself, and that's fruit from it, but the sin of pride is at the core of your heart. And I believe it is the root of all sin. And we want to look at this in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 11 to 15, where Satan was cast out of heaven for the sin of pride. Isaiah 14:11 says, "Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials, and the worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven." That was his, if you think about these comments and these words that it says, there's a prophecy here that expresses what Satan uttered. "I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." It's basically not giving God glory. It's basically trying to say, I'm going to raise myself up rather than allowing God to be Lord of your life. That is at the core of pride. You notice how many I's are there in this passage in Isaiah 14. "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." God's word prophesies there. We don't know this morning how pride found its way into heaven. How could a beautiful, glorious, wonderful place, how could pride enter there? And yet we recognize that God is sovereign. God, His ways are past finding out, and I believe that there was a purpose so that man, humanity, he is more glorified when I choose to serve Him rather than Him, you know, where there's no choice in serving the Lord Jesus. You know, just like as parents here or as brothers in the church, if a brother comes and serves you and helps you do something, if you know that he was forced to do it and he came grudgingly, you feel kind of bad. But if you believe in your heart that he came and at the seat of his heart, he was wanting to bless you, there's just a different feeling there. There's a worship there that is beautiful. And I believe that's what God sees in our hearts. When we come to Him, just like when you go to Bible school this week, young people, if you're going begrudgingly, God can still bless that. But you will truly be blessed if you go with a willing heart, where you say, yes, I'm going to do this for God. Yes, I'm going to be stretched. Yes, I'm going to be challenged. But I'm going to do it for the glory of Jesus Christ. You know, God, there was always in the Old Testament, you can read passage after passage, God always required a blood sacrifice for sin. And the sin of pride needs a blood sacrifice. It needs the blood of Jesus. It needs the blood of Christ. And we need a new heart to overcome the subtle sin of pride. Thank you. Maybe we could all rise and pray here before I go further. Lord, I want to thank you for this beautiful morning. Thank you for the brotherhood, for the families who have gathered together here this morning. I thank you, Lord, that I desire to come here this morning. I desire to be here. I desire to look into your throne room, into your word, into your, just to have fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ this morning. And I just thank you, Lord, that you are helping us. You are taking us from glory to glory. Help us, Lord, as we, especially in my own life, as I look at this subtle sin of pride. I pray that you would help me with this, Lord, and to always look to you, be under your authority, and also ask you to have the preeminence. It's not about me, but it's about you, Lord. And so help us to serve you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. I pray for everyone here today, Lord, that you would bless them as they look at your word today. I pray that you would have the preeminence and that you would have your Holy Spirit would have free course in this place today in all things. We love you. Thank you for everyone that's here this morning. Pray your blessing upon us as we continue to worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. But God has dealt a death blow to pride through Jesus Christ. As a young man, I grew up on a farm. My dad had a lot of horses, and there were colts and training horses, and so there was always a lot of injuries with horses. Our horses would run into things, and there was times when they would get big gashes in their sides from hooking things through training. And I remember one day I went out to the barn and I seen this nasty cut that this horse had on his side, and there was something in the middle of that cut that was starting to rise up. It was red, and it looked, puffy, puffed up. And I asked my dad, "What is that?" And he said, "Oh, that's proud flesh. If a cut or a wound is untreated, I'm not a doctor, so I don't understand how this all works, but the center of that cut will start rising up in an attempt to heal itself. Well, it never works. Proud flesh will not heal. Just like you and I, our proud flesh will not heal in itself. Our proud flesh needs Jesus Christ. It needs to be crucified with the blood of Christ. And so this proud flesh was, you could put a lot of things on it and it would not heal. It was a stubborn, proud thing. It was hard to cure. And then there was, I think through trial and error, I'm not sure where this treatment came from, but there was at times that the word came around that the remedy for this proud flesh was lime. If you would put lime on it once a day and put nothing else on it, it would cure the proud flesh. So anyway, I don't know if we have any proud flesh, any proud hearts in this room this morning. But I know God wants to cure. He wants to remedy any proud hearts in our midst here this morning. As I think of 2022, this is a new year. I was thinking about pride in my own life, and I thought, I hadn't heard a message about the pride that is in a heart of man for a long time. And so I feel like God laid on my heart to share this morning. The biblical meaning of pride is opposite of virtue. No, I'm sorry. It's opposite of the virtue of humility. It's opposite. It's not humble. If you think of, you take one, on one side you have humility, on the other side you have pride or proud. They're worlds apart. They're east from the west apart. And so pride, it wants to rise up and puff up and just rise up into the eye. But humility wants to take the low road and go down and serve others. You know, the meaning of pride is lift myself up above others. It's a feeling of deep pleasure or satisfaction derived from one's own achievement. It's an exalted attitude. It's conceit. That's a King James word. Be not wise in your own conceits in Romans. High-mindedness. You know, it talks about not being high-minded, but be, you know, of men of low estate. So as we think of, going back to Lucifer being cast out of heaven, it's in Luke chapter 10, Jesus said these words. He said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And you know, most of us have seen a bolt of lightning, and it's rather sudden, and it's rather brief, and it's rather short. It's just kind of like, boom, it's done. And it's Jesus said, I don't know where Jesus was. I believe Jesus was at the beginning. He was at creation. But it says, I beheld Satan as lightning falling from heaven. And it was the sin of pride. He was lifting himself up. He was, I will be. And God had no, God in his holiness, it says he hates pride. And it's an abomination. And He cast it out of heaven in a moment's notice. Verse 19, Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. He was telling the disciples, he was saying, we heard about that from Brother Barry and some of the people that were in Haiti, how at the name of Jesus and those Satan worshipers, that there was power, and those that Satan could not come, he could not destroy. But he said, that is noble and that is needful. But he said, but we should rejoice because our names are written in heaven. He just kind of made that a little higher than even having the Spirit subject to us at the name of Jesus, which is a wonderful and glorious thing on this life. It's the warfare. It's the power that God gives through Christ. Next we read of Satan coming to the first woman on earth. I don't know how many greats, but our great-grandmother Eve. Satan came to the first woman on earth, tempting her with pride. And of course, true to his nature, the first thing he did was tell a lie. It says he's the father of lies, and that's the first thing he did, is he told a lie. And that's the first thing he will do to you. When pride scales your eyes and hardens your heart, he'll tell you a lie. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the tree in the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So we see the lies that were told here, and we recognize through pride that Eve was deceived by this pride, by this lie. So that's the original sin. He told a lie and deceived, and pride came as a result of it. I want to be like God. I want to be like the Most High. I don't want to be under God's authority. God told Adam and Eve clearly. He said, you know, don't do that. Don't eat that of that fruit. But of course, it says here in the first verse, now the serpent was more subtle than any, more cunning. He was very cunning in what he did there. I find it fascinating that the first temptation humans ever faced is the same one beneath every other temptation that we still face today. Do this, Satan says, and you will be like God. This is still happening in our time, and especially in the arena of technology. You know, this tech world that we are bombarded with on a daily basis, they're saying this new piece of technology is going to give you more power. It's going to make you, they won't say this, but at the core of it, you'll be more like, more powerful, more like God. But it's a lie. Technology can be used, I believe, for benefit to us as Christians. But yet, it can be a slave driver. It can make us a slave to it. So be careful with technology, the digital technology that we have around us, with us, in our pockets, in this room. It has its benefits, but be careful. It will destroy you. Every temptation to sin is an invitation to take matter into our own hands, to be our own lords, to do what is right in our own eyes, to manipulate people and things to suit our own needs, to live as if we are worthy of respect and honor and even worship. In other words, the sin beneath every sin is a prideful attempt to be like God. Yes, it's not always as obvious and glaring as it should be, but we need to be careful because it has a very subtle thrust that wants to destroy you and I. This promise that you will be like God, that must have appealed to Eve. Think of her. They were in a perfect state at that point. And yet Satan came, you're going to be like God. There's more. There's more out there. Isn't that the lie that we still believe today? There's more out there for you. As, you know, we're in Christ, we're Christians, we're living the Christian life, but there's this little lie that keeps coming in different ways. There's more out there for you. There's more. And especially young people, there's more out there for you. That, and you'll be more like God. It's a lie. God has destined you to be conformed to the image and likeness of God. Romans 8:29. A process that He works in us as we trust His grace and turn from sin, putting on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its Creator. Colossians 3:10. And this glorious refashioning will come to completion when Jesus Himself returns. For we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. 1 John 3, verse 2. For we shall see Him as He is. That new, that glorious refashioning that happens at the new birth. This Satan comes to you and I and says, there's more out there for you. There's more. And tries to tempt us into damnable heresies and believing false gospels and all those things, false powers. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. This is in the Amplified. It says, these six things does God hate. Indeed, seven are repulsive to Him. A proud look, the attitude that makes one overestimate oneself and discount others. A lying tongue and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that creates wicked plans. Feet that run swiftly to evil. A false witness who breathes out lies. Half-truths. We heard about that from our brother Alan. Half-truths. You know, often pride is at the core of half-truths. Pride will keep you from telling the truth. And one who spreads discord, rumors among brethren. It says here, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that sows discord among brethren. It says that's in the seventh is an abomination. Sowing discord among brethren. That doesn't seem like a really serious sin as you sit around and visit, does it? To sow discord among brethren. What is discord? Well, I think just in a real simple language, discord is when you cozy up to a brother and you begin to talk about another brother in a very degrading way. And you get him to begin to open his mouth. What you're really wanting, what really happens there with discord, is you get him to open his mouth. And he'll say something maybe he didn't really intend to say, but you kind of nudged him and he said it. Well, then you run back over to this brother that you were discussing and you tell him, yeah, this so-and-so brother, he said this about you. That is sowing discord. And then, of course, it's conveniently leave out what you said and how you initiated it. So that's, you know, there's other ways that discord could be brought to the table, but that's one way I thought of. And do it in a very humble way, by the way, you know, just. But so be careful with discord. It says here that God hates it. He says it's an abomination. What is an abomination? Abominable things won't make it into heaven. According to Revelations chapter 12, abominations are going to be cast into hellfire. So this is sobering this morning. I would like to say that pride sends souls to hell. That's a very, very a statement that sounds very, very awful, but it does. The sin of pride will send a soul to hell if it's not repented of. Because it scales your eyes and it hardens your heart and you become someone else as time goes on. Because pride, because of pride, people refuse to confess their sins and repent. So this morning my heart is, and my admonishment is, quit holding out on God. If you're here this morning and you know you're holding out on God, repent of that. Deal with that pride in your heart and say, Lord, here I am. I'm not going to hold out any longer. I'm going to surrender. I want to take the low road to glory. Pride keeps us from healing our broken relationships. Father and son, mother and daughter, brother to brother. Pride is a very subtle sin that will keep you longer than you want to be kept. It will cost you more than you ever wanted to pay, and it's more deadly than you ever thought it would be. So we could ask ourselves this morning, why does God hate pride so much? It's because it's in competition with His glory. That's why. His glory will not be compromised or brought low. His glory will shine forth. And so every day we have a choice. We can allow the glory of Jesus Christ to be lifted up, or I can lift myself up. I can have that proud flesh rise up within me. Pride is very subtle because it causes blindness. Blindness is something that you don't know where you're going. You don't know if it's daylight. You don't know if it's dark. You don't know which state you're in or what road you're on. And the list could go on with blindness. Blindness, I believe we can be physically blind and yet see spiritually and see kingdoms and thrones and dominions and glory and yet have no physical sight. But when the heart is blind, when the heart of man is blinded, you will see no glory. You'll just see darkness. And the devil will come as an angel of the light. Joel, he made this cry in the book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 13. Rend your heart and not your garments. He brought out this cry, rend your heart and not your garments. In the Old Testament, the practice was when I was distressed, when I was upset or discouraged, I would rend my garments. I would tear my clothes. He said, rend your heart. Repent, he was saying. The Amplified says, rip your heart in pieces in sorrow and contrition and not your garments. Now return in repentance to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness, faithful to his covenant with his people. And he relents the sentence of evil when people genuinely repent. So it's an invitation. Rend your heart and not your garments. We can look at the example of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, see, Lord, I am now giving half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anyone out of anything, I will give back four times as much. He humbled his heart. He came down out of the sycamore tree. He came down off of his pedestal. So in order to humble our hearts, we need to come down off of our pedestal of the self-life. One of the manifestations of pride is rage. You ever notice that when pride is present? You know, sometimes people say, well, you know, how do you know if you have pride? Well, it can be somewhat subtle. And I think, you know, we can check our hearts and we can ask God to search our hearts. But I think a safe way to ask a brother, ask your wife, ask your family members, ask someone you're close to, do you see any pride in my life that you could help me with? And then truly be open to that. You know, pride is when it is injured, when it is poked, when it is prodded, pride will come up in a rage. It will just begin to stomp its feet and smash its fist into the table, and it will begin to go into a rage and come off its chair. But a soft answer turns away wrath. You know, ye who are spiritual should restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Galatians says, you know, that there is a way to help us when we're faced with pride. This week, my son Stephen came home, shared a story at work. They were hooking up a sewer and a water line. And not sure what happened, but they turned the water on before they were ready for it inside the house. And the people, the mechanical people were in there. And I think it was actually one of them cold days, if I remember right. And they left the tap open. The line didn't have a shutoff on it. And the water started flying into the ceiling and everywhere. And these people came out in a rage. You know, what are you doing out here? And, of course, you know, they were kind of shocked, but their response, I understand, was, you know, just a soft answer. And by the end of the day, they were talking to these guys, and they were somewhat befriending them. And so it does work. You know, pride is, it will go into a rage. It has outbursts of anger. You know, God doesn't like, he detests when we have outbursts of anger. We read about King, I always call him, there's a song that talks about King Naaman. He wasn't actually a king. He was just a high-ranking official in the government or in the king's palace. But it says Naaman, in 2 Kings, came with his horses and chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." There's a few things that happened here. First off, Elisha did not come out to meet the man. And that ruined his pride and his ego right away. This man, I am an important guy. You know, that's the other thing. If the seed of pride is, I'm important. I'm an important guy. So people need to look up to me. And Elisha just sent a messenger. And it started out way back, this little girl from Israel that was a prisoner of war. She began to tell her mistress that Naaman should go to Israel. They have the answers. They have the answers to life. They have the answers to get to heaven. And to be cured, to be pure in heart, to be healed. And through this little girl, he ended up at the door of Elisha's cabin. And he sent somebody out, "Go and wash 7 times in the Jordan." But Naaman, it says in the next verse, verse 11, he was wroth. He went into a rage, and he went away. And he said, "Behold, I thought he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper." See, it was his conditions. He wanted God to work in a certain way. He wanted Elisha to work in this way. And if it didn't happen that way, he was going to go into a rage because he had a pride. He had lots of pride in his heart. I'm an important guy. Pride is easily offended. It is when it's poked, it will come off its chair, or it'll go into pouting mode. You know, they're different, but they have the same end. You know, pouting or coming off in a rage. It's the same ego. It's the same pride. It's just a different manifestation. In Daniel chapter 3, we read of Nebuchadnezzar. You know, the three Hebrew boys, they didn't listen to his command. He was the king, and he told them that you're going to worship me. Well, they went about their business, and they knew that God said to worship God, not Nebuchadnezzar. And in verse 13, it says, "Then Nebuchadnezzar, in a rage of fury, commanded them, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to be brought these men before the king." And we know the story. They were put in a fiery furnace. They were put in a fiery furnace, and the Son of Man was in there with them, protecting them. And as the day unfolded, you know, Nebuchadnezzar repented and said, "Let their God be our God." So that's the result of pride that's repented of. It turns many to the Lord Jesus. Pride does not want to be told what to do. It does not want to be told what to do. It chafes under authority. It's not teachable. It's about me. It's about I. I have to be in control, in charge. It's not teachable. Pride boasts about its achievements or lack thereof. In Luke chapter 15, we read about the elder son. I think it's safe to say that elder son, even though he did a lot of things right, he had pride in his heart. He had pride in who he was and what he did and what he didn't do. And he had a you owe me mindset. You know, that's what pride has, you know, in its gentler cloaks. You owe me mindset. Where's my fatted calf? Look what all I've done. Where's my fatted calf? That was the elder son's testimony. And yes, what that wicked young, his younger brother, what he did was very wicked. To get his money, his inheritance, and to take off and spend it and to live with hogs and pigs and prostitutes and live like an animal. I read a story this week or a week or two ago about a young man. I can't remember what state he was from, but the reason I remember it is because it happened in the year of 1969. That's the year I was born. And this young man, he got in with the wrong crowd. And he decided that he was going to rob a bank. And I think he robbed, don't quote me on the exact numbers, but I think it was $150,000 he robbed. Got into the getaway car and they got away. And I think the equivalent of today would be, I think, $3 or $4 million that he would have had in his pocket and in his possession. So he decided, it was back before all the tracking devices and things, and so he took off. And he went, I'm not sure how far, many states away, and he began a new life. He basically cut off all fellowship and contact with his family, and he was going to live the good life. That pride in his heart, if I could just get $150,000, I'd have it made. But he cut off his siblings, his parents, his whole family, just for this little bit of money that he had. And it happened, I think, just recently here, where he was on his deathbed. And he began to talk and confess what he did. He had his family, his wife, and he told them all to gather around. He said, I'm going to tell you what and everybody in the community was saying this man was a wonderful man. He was a good golfer, and he was kind to everybody, and you know how the story goes. But but anyway, this man must have had laying upon his heart. I don't know if he got right with the Lord or not, but he had on his heart that he wanted to confess this wrongdoing. And then the story said also that I think within 2 or 3 years, that $1 million, that several million dollars that he had, he squandered it. He lost it all. He lost it all. And he had that on his conscience for 50 years because he thought he could gain something. But it was loss. It was that pride that kept him from facing his sin. Pride will take you further than you wanted to go and keep you longer than you want to be kept. And it will deceive you as well. In Luke 18, verse 9, going on here, it says, talking about the parable of the Pharisee and the publican, it says, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, and one was a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes to heaven, and smote his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and everyone that humbles himself shall be exalted. So it's an upside-down kingdom. And, you know, it appears like, you know, this Pharisee was a good man. He had a lot going for him. The law said give the 10% of everything you own to the church, to the synagogue. And it told him, you know, not to be unjust and not to commit adultery. And there was a lot of things that he did that were right. But it came down to the posture of his heart. His heart was proud. It was lifted up. It was, look at me. Now this other man, this publican, let's be clear, he was a sinner. Let's be clear, he was unjust. He needed to repent. But the attitude of the heart of these two men is what I wanted to bring out here. I don't think that this man, this Pharisee, was doing anything wrong by giving a 10% of his money, by doing the right things, not being deceitful. That's commendable. But yet he despised others. He had this heart that was, look at me, and I'm going to despise others that aren't as good as I am. So that was the pride, and that was the same pride that God talked about, and that's why Satan was cast out of heaven. So let's be careful this morning as we consider our own hearts as we go through 2022. Let's consider the sin of pride and the subtlety of it. Many would use these passages to promote a lawless living. And that's not what I'm doing here this morning. I'm using this to promote that I need to live right and I need to have a right heart. I need to have both. So many times we are faced with people that believe if you live right, you're going to have a wrong heart. No. If you live right and have a right heart, that's what God wants. That's pleasing to God. It's a combination. We heard about this this narrow road from Brother Dan. That's the narrow road. Living right and having a right heart. It's not lawless living and then crying out at the very end. You know, I don't know where God puts all that, but that's not the heart of God. Proverbs 16, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. You know, this man that I talked about, he was dividing his spoil with the proud, and he came to nothing. I understood he was in debt. He was in bad shape at the end of his life. I think he died of COVID, I understood. Pride has kept many people from accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's another area, you know, just giving it up, giving your life to Jesus. Pride will keep you from doing that. Admitting sin, acknowledging that in our own strength we can't do anything to inherit eternal life. Life is a constant stumbling block for prideful people. We are not to boast about ourselves. If we want to boast, then we are to proclaim the glories of God. What we say about ourselves means nothing in God's work. It is what God says about us that makes a difference. 2 Corinthians 10:18 says, "For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but who the Lord commendeth." You know, I can commend myself and say, yeah, I'm a good guy. I'm a good man. I'm a good brother. But it's vain unless the Lord says, like he said of Job, he loves me. He's a man of integrity. Try him out. Why is sin so prideful? Pride is giving ourselves the credit for something God has done. Pride is taking glory that belongs to God alone and keeping it for ourselves. Pride is essentially self-worship. Think about it. When we have pride welling up in my heart, I am worshiping myself. I'm trying to become as a God. Anything we accomplish in this world would not have been possible were it not for God's enabling and sustaining power. What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? This is why we give God glory. He alone deserves it. 1 Corinthians 4:7. There's a passage there that speaks to what I just said. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? And now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? God is challenging us and saying, you know, if we're going to glory, let's glory in the Lord. Who makes you to differ from another? It's God. So in closing, God has a specific hatred for pride and for me. If I lift myself up, if I become proud, it has an effect in my heart that will deceive me and it caused me to go blind. God says that in his pride, the wicked man does not seek him. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. Psalm 10, verse 4. And that I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech. Proverbs 8:13. Pride is the opposite of humility. There could be another message preached on humility that would bless us as well. Very needful in our lives. And this is what we read in Proverbs 11:2. When pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. Which is why patience is better than pride. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 8. God thunders out of heaven, saying that all who are prideful, the eyes of the arrogant will be humbled, and the human pride will be brought low. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day. When that last trump will sound, God is going to be exalted. Isaiah 2:11. We will either humble ourselves or God will do it for us. And one is much more painful than the other. Isaiah writes, I will put an end to the arrogance of the haughty and will humble the pride of the ruthless. Isaiah 13:11. Even the nations that are overly prideful, God says, that the most wicked of nations, I will put an end to the pride of the mighty, and their sanctuaries will be desecrated. Ezekiel 7:24. James writes, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. James 4:6. The Greek word here for opposed is to range in battle against. Who wants to range in battle against the God of heaven, the Lord Almighty? God opposes the proud. But there's also, you know, when we deal with pride in our hearts, it takes the timidness away as well. It helps us to be bold for Christ. It helps us to be bold for the right. It helps us to stand in the face of adversity. 1 Peter 5:5, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. So I just want to ask God to continue to touch my heart in this area. You know, there's times when I have found my heart to be, you know, maybe looking down on others. And I want to repent of that. I want God to have the right place, his rightful place in my heart. Despising others is a sin against God. That person was made in his image. Now that doesn't mean that all men will not be accountable. God is very clear on that. All men are accountable and will be held accountable for the deeds done in the body. So may the Lord help us today as we embrace him, to just help him to have his all-seeing eye. Teach me, search me. Is there any pride in my heart that he wants to rid me of? God bless.
Well, I was blessed and convicted and encouraged all at the same time today. Thank you for the messages, brothers. And I think we were richly ministered to, fed, exhorted, and I don't know how I could say much more about anything that was said. I don't think it's necessary. I would like to open it up, give anyone an opportunity to share anything that God may have spoken to you. I think it would be a blessing to hear from you. We would have a few minutes. Does anyone have anything you'd like to share? If so, raise your hand. We'll get a mic to you. Brother Rufus.
With what I heard, and just wanted to thank those who shared, and I was blessed with the things that Brother Dan shared, and the children's lesson as well, and then a few thoughts that I was blessed with on Steve's message there on pride. I didn't catch all of it, I don't think, but one of the thoughts that blessed me is one of the things that pride does is that I see in my life sometimes is self-pity. It's just another form of pride, I think, that can come up because what it's saying is I deserve better than this, and somehow you know, it's not right that I'm facing what I'm facing. So I was just that's a form of pride. And one of the verses that has always struck me in Proverbs is where it says that only by pride cometh contention. And it's a pretty interesting verse to think about. So, but yeah, those are just some of the thoughts that I was blessed with. And may the Lord bless each one of you.
Amen. Yes, thank you. Anyone else? Melvin?
And the one phrase that stuck out to me the most probably was what he said, that pride is essentially self-worship. That really stuck out to me, and it just struck me that in self-worship, we are making ourselves a god, and we're doing the exact same thing as the devil did when he was in heaven and said, "I will ascend, I will be like the Most High." That was really, it spoke to me, and just I want the Lord to have his way with me and with all of us. So thank you, all the brothers, for sharing. I was richly blessed.
Amen. I sometimes think when I see a stylish, self-sufficient man or woman all decked out with gold and success and holding their head high. And I sometimes think that if you saw a little orphan in a back alley of a big city one dark night, and this child was cold, no parents, think about how your heart would go out to that little child. "I'll take you home. I'll feed you. I'll be your daddy." Well, that's really what that is when you see that self-sufficiency. It's someone who's crying out because they haven't. When we are self-sufficient, we're making a god of ourselves because we don't have a father. We're like fatherless. It's like a fatherless person. And that has helped me to see immodestly dressed people where you actually, instead of the lust of the eye, why, see that for what it really is. Think about those things. These people, you know, I was with my dad in the hospital most of the night last night, and they were doing test after test after test, and they had these symptoms, you know, low oxygen, shortness of breath, high white blood cell count, low sodium, all these things, you know. But what's causing this? What is causing it? We have these symptoms, but it's not so. It's not so with our lives. When we see these things, when people stand in front of the mirror, when people despise others, when there's contention, why, the cause is always simple. It's pride. That's what it is. We don't have to wonder. We don't have to wonder what causes the symptoms. We don't have to look long. That's what it is. When I see those things in my life, that's what it is. It's pride, and God hates pride. Anyone else? Brother Marcus.
It was a blessing to be here today. I thank the brothers for sharing. Thinking of what Dan shared this morning on overcoming, that is what the Christian life is about. It's about giving up our will and doing the will of the Lord. But the overcoming is when we overcome, by the grace of God, the world, our flesh, and the enemy of our souls. As he read there in chapter 12, the accuser of the brethren is cast down, and someday we will reign with Christ. And then Steve was sharing there in Proverbs, chapter 16, verse 18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And there was a story in the Beside the Still Waters this week, the one for Friday, and it was on the on anger. And it's in my life, it's easy to class anger as something different than when we get irritated when things don't go our way, but it's one and the same. And it was sharing in there that it was likening that to pride when we hurt ourselves or something and we want to take it out on the board or the nail or whatever it might be. It's because of our flesh, our self. And I was just convicted of that in my life, and just thank the Lord for what he brought forth. And then Brother John, Robert, their family's not here today. They're sick. He had just asked me if be interested in having a story time and time of singing with the young children this afternoon. So if we could plan for around 1:30 and we could do that for about a half hour, be a blessing.
We would have anyone else yet? Maybe another one? Someone else? Raise your hand. If not, that's okay. Brother Alva over here.
Yeah, I was also richly blessed today. Of all the brothers that shared, and I was challenged in my... And what was spoken about, Steve was talking about pride there. Pride can be revealed in our lives in many ways. Through speaking, through clothing, through our homes, through our vehicles, through... It can just be revealed in so many ways. But I just had to think, God resists the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. It's two opposite directions. Satan is pride. God is resisting that. So as Alan shared there about the whole truth, God knows our hearts. He knows if we're cold or if we're hot. He would rather us not be lukewarm. So he wants all of us. He wants the whole truth. And like like Dan, Dan shared there about the sound of the trumpet. if pride will be within our heart, if we let pride rule over God. God says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil and flee, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your heart, your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double mind. Humble yourselves in the sight of God and the Lord, and he shall lift you up. So I think that's the ticket, that we just need to surrender and humble ourselves to the Lord, and let him be our let him be our leader. When we have pride, it will be a fearful thing to hear the trumpet. But when we're humbled, when we're surrendered to the Lord, the trumpet, we're going to want to hear. So I was blessed today. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there someone else yet? Hate to shut it down if there's still someone else. How many of us want the grace of God? Raise your hand. How many of you want the grace of God in your lives? 1 Peter 5:5. It says, God resisteth the proud and gives grace to the humble. Think about that. Stephen, you want to come up here? I'd like to illustrate something. Would you come here? He resists the proud. And I'm going to show you what it means to resist somebody. How many of us want God to resist us? That's what he does to the proud. When I'm proud. So, and you know, Jesus is coming back one day, and every proud man and every proud woman is going to face that man whose head and his hairs are white like wool and white as snow, and his eyes are as a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass, and they burn as a furnace, as if they burned in a furnace. You think of a red hot piece of fine brass in a furnace. That's how John could think of describing the feet of Jesus Christ. Red hot fine brass. And we're all going to see him. We're all going to stand before him. And Brother Steve told us today that it's easier to humble ourselves today than to wait until that day. So may the Lord all help us to be honest and not deceitful, as we heard in the children's lesson. And to most of all, ask God or ask someone else if I am motivated by pride. And we might be surprised what we find. So thank you again. And I have a few announcements here before we close. Brother Steve, would you pray for us for the noon meal and when I'm finished with the announcements here, and we could have a song maybe before prayer. I think it would be a blessing if we could just all, when Steve prays, that we could just all kneel together and pray together. So next week is the Bible school for the youth, and I was asked to share that if you would go down there a day with your dad or something, that would be good. But just to pop in on them, just to show up a day without being signed up, that if you do that, you know, that'll probably be okay. But what if a lot of people would do that? So we're asked to just kind of refrain from doing that, and because they have, you know, food and all those things that they're trying to plan for, it would just be better if you went with, you know, the appearance of it, if you went with your dad or something, if you're not signed up. I know the registration, the sign up filled up fast there, and some of you didn't get in time. Which brings us to the men's seminar, which is also filling up fast. And if you desire to go to the men's seminar in Bern in February, you're encouraged to sign up soon, because they will be full soon. And also next week, there will be no prayer meeting, as there was evening meetings at the Bible school. I understand Paul Weaver is preaching on Tuesday and Wednesday evening. Is that right? Among some others, I'm not sure who the others are. And today would be family day to all the young men and women, young ladies, all the children eat together as families. And I think it's a responsibility to the parents to reach out to them across the table, include them in our conversations. And because I know you young people love to sit together and talk about your week, but it's also important that you hear what the dads are talking about. What a wonderful place. Where could you find a better place for you to learn what you might think you know what your dad is thinking and what the brothers are thinking, but when you hear them talk, why it passes on the convictions and the visions of the dads to you, and place a high value on that, because it's God's will, it's God's heart. And so I think we'll close with that. We'll have a song, and then we'll pray together. And also, I believe Delmer Schmucker has a birthday today. And maybe when we're out in the sanctuary, when we're about done eating lunch, maybe Melvin, you could start happy birthday. We could sing happy birthday to Delmer. Otherwise, God bless you, keep you, and may the Lord have his way in each of our hearts.
dear God, as we bow here, Father, we beseech you, Father, just to, Lord, be able to hear all the words that have been spoken, Father. We come, Lord, on the first day of the week, Father, just opening our hearts to you, Lord, and then, Lord, we hear messages like we heard today, Lord, and we just tremble before you, Father. Lord, we just ask you, Lord, just to continue to speak to us, Father. We know that as these seeds get planted, Father, they can show us, Father, in the upcoming week, Father, where the subject of pride, Father, could be quenched in all of our hearts, Father, to make sure there's no pride, Lord. We know that we've seen an example, Father, of Stephen and Sally there, and it's very real, Father. And we think about these six things that the Lord hate, and yeah, seventh is abomination to him, a proud look. The first one is a proud look, Lord, and Father, we see that it seems like this is a stumbling block, Lord, for many people, Lord, and even for my own life, just to make sure, Lord, that I'm not trying to have a proud look, Lord, that's something about the look, Lord, that is, I think it brings death, Father. So may we just take this seriously, Lord, that we know that many good-looking people in the Bible, it complimented on their looks, they struggled tremendously, Father. But we know Joseph, Lord, it comments that he looked good and he did very well. He never struggled in that area. So Father, we know it's possible, Lord. We know that Jesus wasn't comely to look upon, but we know Joseph did well. So Father, help us, Lord. I know this seems to be a stumbling block in churches and in good young people. So Father, I just pray that you would just prick our hearts on this subject, Lord. And Father, even Lord, for me, Lord, as I can do things pretty quickly, Father, sometimes I feel that pride that wants to come up, Lord. And I know that you delivered me from this, and Lord, I just pray that you just help me, Father.